You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who hates shaking hands, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. I don't know if I hate shaking hands. I just find it strange. I don't know how. Well, I do know how it started now. It's to prove you didn't have a weapon on you. But I feel like we carry less weaponry on our person than we used to. I think it's outdated. Mostly I'm just kind of having fun with it. But that is our question of the night, folks. It's National Handshake Day. How do you feel about the handshake? What would be a better custom? We spoke in the first hour with Tom Clark, who is still here for a few more minutes. He gave us the popcorn pick of the week. This week's pick is Repo Man, an outstanding choice, and definitely due for a revisit in the Schwabba household. Grace Painter Cazell will be here at 7:20. She is an up-and-coming filmmaker in Milwaukee and the founder of Ruby Red Films, and a very talented actress, as I understand it. So we'll talk to Grace at 7:20. Right now, we have a few more minutes with my pal Tom Clark, who joins us over the stream from... are you in L.A., Tom?
Yes. Yeah, about 20 minutes outside.
Okay, yeah.
I can't reveal my location.
That's our second secret tonight. We can't talk about Rich Tallarico's funny new script, and we can't say where you're joining us from. Because you are a target.
Right.
It's funny you say that. When I moved to Marinette when I was in junior high, people there, it's a shipbuilding town, and they build ships at Marinette Marine, and now it's called Fincantieri. But people were so proud of the fact, and maybe it's because I moved there from Chicago, and it's like that weird thing where you feel like you have to kind of one-up somebody. But people would say, you know, we build ships here, and if there's ever a war, we're like the eighth place that will be attacked. Like, we're the eighth most... a desired attack city. And I'm like, well, that's a terrible thing. Like, I'm not, it doesn't really make me proud. I'm just kind of scared to be here now, but very funny. Great pick with Repo Man. What do you have coming up, Tom? What do you have? Do you have dates? I know you come back to Wisconsin a couple times a year to do stand up.
Yeah. In early December, I'm going to be back in Wisconsin. I'm going to be in Kenosha, I believe December.
Oh, nice.
First week of December. And then Saturday, I'm doing another show in Keewaskum, just outside of West Bend. So, yeah, those are the two big shows. And otherwise, touring around, I've just mainly bounced between Arizona and California, doing a lot of shows in there.
Nice.
Going to Arizona tomorrow for a show in Munns Park, Arizona. So all your listeners in Munns Park, Arizona.
We do get the occasional text from someone where I'm like, where's that area code? Like,
I never heard of it. Munns Park. It's near Sedona.
Okay. We have a Conrad's eyes perked up because he is was born and raised. He's a Keewaskum kid.
I am.
So that's exciting. Okay. So you're going to tell your family?
Yeah. They're in Florida now, but.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Jerry Walski is the one who's booking that gig. I think you know Jerry.
Do you know Jerry Walski, Conrad?
I don't. Do you know what where you're working at there?
I do not. I can find out, but
I'm trying to figure out where.
Is there a funny bone in Keewaskum or
no? I think there might be a Zanies though.
Catch a Rising Star, yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. I know.
Well, when you come back, Tom, we'll have to, especially before the Kenosha date. I know that's. I've heard really good stuff about that room down there in Southeast Wisconsin. It's supposed to be very funny. Let me ask you this: You're a big Packer fan, Tom. Have you found Packer bars in Southern California? Do you have a Packer bar you go to watch the games?
Yeah, there was one in Woodland Hills that we would go to, but I believe it shut down. But
oh no,
you know, I haven't found anything out here since then. And but usually I just go anywhere there's an NFL package. You know, my he's 99, so for me it's like trying to find a place that's quiet and that, you know, he's not gonna get trampled or something.
So
he's, so usually I just try to find a nice place that has the NFL package and then hang out and have lunch.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm excited. I did a gig at a church in Beverly Hills, and I ended up winning the raffle, and I won two Rams tickets.
Oh, wow.
To any game I want to go to. So I'm excited about that because I haven't been to SoFi Stadium.
Boy, yet, so. I've only have watched games from there, and that announcer, it sounds like the Hunger Games, that kind of house announcer. He's like, it's fourth down. That guy's always talking, and I'm like, shut that guy up. But I'm sure it looks spectacular.
Yeah, it's a beautiful stadium, and I'm very excited. It was very awkward because I just finished like headlining, and then they like immediately did the raffle, and I'm like setting up my merch table, and then they're like, and I'm like looking, and I'm like, do I say something? And I'm like, I want to go to the Rams game. I don't care that I won this. And a lot of old people, they didn't care. They're not gonna go.
They're just walking past you going, well, you really cleaned up here today, didn't you, buddy?
Want to buy a shirt? Come on, let's go.
You sent this to me. This is a commercial. Set this commercial up, please. It's only like 30 seconds long, but I'd love to play it.
And in 2003, there was a sort of like cattle call for an audition for movietickets.com. It was the old sites like Fandango, where you'd order your tickets online. I never understood the point of it, and I was the spokesperson for it. I was just lucky enough to be cast. I was there for like 6 hours. The people before me were all clowns, and literally clowns. People dressed as clowns, and it was like people left the audition because it was like we were like in the waiting room like 4 or 5 hours.
Oh my gosh. I had nowhere
to be. So it just so happened that me and these two other guys were the last three left. We went into the room and we just hit it, you know, we just killed it in the audition. And then they wanted to do a callback, and I was out of town, and they tried the two guys with another guy, and it didn't work out. So they're like, we want you. And next thing you know, it was playing in every movie theater across the country on TV. Wow. I had a bunch of billboards in LA where this was up on the billboard. Like, it was crazy.
That's so fun.
Yeah. So this was pretty amazing.
All right. So it's Tom Clark, our current guest, and two other guys. And this is the...
One other thing I want to mention is during this, the night before, I ended up having a burrito and I had severe stomach flu.
Oh, no.
So as I'm doing this, if you want to know what the thought process of an actor is, my thought process during this is I have to go to the bathroom. So enjoy.
All right, go ahead, Conrad.
C comes before K.
Double K.
It's a C, then a K. It's a silent C.
I'm lost.
E.
What letter?
T.
No one said college would be easy.
Easy like going to the movies.
Because we use movietickets.com.
We just buy our tickets online.
Then pick them up at the theater.
I don't get why everyone doesn't use movietickets.com.
You don't?
Convenient, secure, easy. Movietickets.com, your own personal box office.
No R.
No, there's no R in tickets.
It's a silent R.
That must have been a kick, seeing that before every movie, and your friends calling you and stuff.
Yeah, it was the silent R, you know, the beginning and the end were all improvised. So me saying it's a silent R ended up being like a hit, like always got a laugh in the theaters. And I had a buddy who was friends with Derek Jeter, and he went to the games with, or went to the movies with Derek Jeter, and he calls me up. This is Brody Stevens, who was a legend comedian. And he goes, Tom Clark just went to a movie with Derek Jeter. He saw your commercial. He laughed out loud. Derek Jeter thinks you're funny. And
it's
like, oh my God, that was so funny. But that was amazing. And then we ended up doing a second commercial because they thought this is like, oh, these are our spokes guys. And second one didn't hit. And that was it for us.
But
it was cool while it lasted.
That is cool. I remember Brody Stevens used to hang out at the Starbucks right down the street from my house at Riverside and Laurel Canyon. And I didn't know. I didn't know him well, but he was part of a comic softball weekly game I used to go to. And he was so funny. He would just sit out in the outfield and yell, "Let's go to work." Like, you just say that over and over. And I know he was on the Best Damn Sports Show a few times on Fox. He was a really good guy.
That would be another special I'd recommend, or, you know, another movie choice is Brody has a special on Amazon, I think Live at the Comedy Store. And it's a great representation of, like, what it's like to go up at the end of the night at the Comedy Store when everyone's drunk and people are leaving. And he decided to shoot his special. And just the guts on that guy to do that. And it's really funny. And you'll definitely become a fan of him.
Oh, that's great.
And just his boldness.
Now I want people to become a fan of, I think everybody listening is already a fan of you, but just in case, you do such great crowd work, Tom, and you're always posting videos on your social media accounts. Where can people follow you, and how do you recommend they follow you to see some of these clips you post?
I'm on Instagram and TikTok, Tom Clark Comedy, on both of those. That's the best way to see those. I mean, you can follow me on Facebook as well, but Instagram and TikTok are kind of the ones I want to grow a little bit more. But I try to do at least one or two a week, and there's always something silly or ridiculous that happens during a show that you'll enjoy.
I love that you're so self-deprecating too. You posted something recently where you totally wiped out going up to the stage, like you did a header, I think.
Yeah.
That was hilarious, but I actually thought maybe you got hurt.
Yeah, I was walking on the stage, and the guy introduced me. He said the wrong name. He says, "Ladies and gentlemen, Travis Clark." And as I'm walking up, I'm going to shake his hand. I'm like, "No, it's Tom." And I just, you know, butt over tea kettle, fall on my face. I'm down for like 30 seconds. I get up. You can see it on my Instagram. But it's funny then. 2 weeks ago, I'm working in Arizona. This same guy who's lost like 30 pounds, has longer hair, doesn't look anything like, but this guy was there. I didn't realize it was him until during the show. We had talked about one of his jokes, and I tried to give him a tag for it. It didn't work. He's like, "Thanks a lot, Travis." I'm like, "How do you still not know my name? Like, it's you're still calling me Travis. Like, people said my name's Tom." Like, he just insists my name is Travis.
Probably for the best.
Yeah.
God, that's funny. I highly recommend, too, folks, Google Tom stuff. He's been on Conan. I think you had your own dry bar special. We played a great joke. Your Civil War reenactment joke is great. And then how your parents were homophobes. Oh, no, wait, they were homophobes. That is one of the best jokes I've ever heard. And we played that clip earlier, but there's tons of clips of Tom all over the internet. I highly recommend check it out, folks. And we'll have you back on before you are back in the state and try to get some butts in the seats in those Kenosha and Kewaskum shows. That would be fun.
Yeah. And I'll figure out where those are.
So. All right, buddy. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight. Great popcorn pick of the week. And say hi to Steph. And we'll talk soon, I hope.
All right. Thanks, Pete. Thanks, Conrad.
You got it. Tom Clark, ladies and gentlemen. Check him out. Follow him on Instagram or TikTok. And we'll keep you posted when he's coming back to Wisconsin. Very funny stand-up comedian. In just a couple minutes, folks, we will be back with our next guest. Grace Painter Cozell will be here. She is an up-and-coming filmmaker and the founder of Ruby Red Films, based out of Milwaukee. That's all coming up after a very short break. And we'll read some of your texts, too. It's Pete Schwabe at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Begin to pound, so you're tired, just want to close your eyes, follow your dream down. If we made a promise, it's all we'd always remember. No retreat, fake it, no surrender. Our soldiers on a winner's life.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You want me? I want you, baby. My sugar boo. I'm levitating. The Milky Way. We're renegading. Yeah, 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 yeah. I got you. Moonlight. You're my
welcome back. This is a Thursday night edition of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. I am Pete Schwabe, your dedicated host, Conrad Krieger, riding shotgun, working the board. Bud, we missed every once in a while. Bud from Janesville texts us, and he is out working hard from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. delivering papers. Bud is a retired school teacher. That's right. Right, Conrad?
Maybe.
Okay. He's doing the whole Tom Clark secretive thing. Bud last night, or this morning, I should say, at 5:21 a.m. texted, "I'm about to have an accident." He said, "I laughed so hard, I was glad I was wearing black shorts. Love your show, Pete." Bud from Janesville. I vaguely remember saying that, but what were we talking about at that time?
That's a good question.
I'll have to go back and listen. Yeah. Thank you, Bud. Bud also sent another text a few minutes later. Said, "Pete Schwabba, a man who entertains you when you least expect it." Keep it up, Pete. Love your show, Bud from Janesville. Thank you, Bud. Be careful out there. You can get in a lot of trouble from 4 to 6 a.m. There's a lot going on.
We got a new Facebook comment.
Facebook comment? Where is that? What do you think? I have every social media thing open here?
I sent it to you.
You sent it to me? In the chat. Oh, yes. That's what that means. Okay. Now I got to put my glasses on again. What is this? Is this from your mom? Oh, no. Monica Hale says, "I don't like people's cooties and have grown fond of the fist bump, then opening my hand as if there was an explosion." Not sure if there is a name for that. Oh, man. That's our question of the night, folks. It's National Handshake Day. How do you feel about the handshake? And what would be a better custom? That's the question we're asking. Thank you for the text, Monica. We'll catch up on the text line. We've got several to read and the stream as well. Right now, though, without further ado, I'd like to get to our next guest of the night. She is an up-and-coming independent filmmaker and the founder of Ruby Red Films, based out of Milwaukee, Grace Kozel. Grace, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So did I say the last name right?
No, but okay. I'm not going to blame you because even when I give people the phonetic spelling of it, they still don't get it right. It's Kozel. It's Polish.
Oh, I doggone it. I saw that you had the O or no, the Z different. All right. I'm not even smart enough to understand phonetics, even though I asked you for a phonetic and I was an English major. So go figure. So Kozel. I have to write that down.
It's totally okay. They got it wrong at my college graduation. So
that's horrible. Did you go to Marquette?
I did go to Marquette. I just graduated in May.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, all right. So let's ease into this. Tell us a little bit about, you just graduated from Marquette. I love that you reached out and it's great that we were able to figure this out. Tell us a little bit about you for like all the listeners that don't know your work and don't know Grace.
So I'm a recent Marquette grad. I study digital media, which is Marquette's essentially film program, but it's all encompassing. It covers photography, videography, video editing, lighting, things like that. And I very quickly took a liking to directing and writing. It's kind of been a long time coming. I grew up an actor. I was super into musical theater, was always making movies with my brothers. And so it actually kind of felt like a natural kind of progression into filmmaking. And I basically in 2023 was like, I want to make a movie, but I know that it's a full length movie and that no one is going to believe, you know, a 19-year-old that, you know, you should give me money to make this movie. And it's a period piece.
Oh, wow.
So I have to prove that I actually have the skill set for this. So I decided I was going to make a proof of concept film. And that was back in 2023, and it's called Bad for Me. And it is a period piece that begins in 1958. And it's basically about a couple that meets in high school, they're high school sweethearts, and it transforms into a toxic relationship in the sense of there's verbal abuse, physical abuse. And it's about that era of housewives and mothers who really had no means to get out of the situations that they were in, and really lacked status in society, and how many of those women existed that we've forgotten their stories. And so we made that proof of concept, and it went really well, and we went viral on social media. And we had legitimately an international following of women telling us, this is exactly how I feel. This is how I feel about my grandparents. This is what I see in my mom and my dad's relationship. And it was very empowering, but it was also very sad at the same time that a period piece could be still so applicable to modern day.
Yeah.
And from there, we were like, we need to make the feature. And so we've been making the feature since. And in the midst of that, I'm also working on shorts. So the short that I'm working on right now is a 1980s psychological thriller. And wow. Yeah, we also went viral on TikTok too, because we were doing an international and nationwide casting call, and that got actors excited, especially young women, because it's a cast of 5 young women. So yeah, so the social media thing has been a really big part of my career.
Yeah,
it's kind of what I'm seeing for lots of, like, a new generation of young filmmakers are utilizing this social media to break into the industry in ways that we haven't seen before. It's kind of like you have to be resourceful in this industry. Yeah. And so that's my story. Yeah,
that's great. My guest is Grace Koziel. Did I say it right?
Koziel.
Cozy.
So close.
Okay. By the time you leave, I'll have it down pat. She is joining us from Milwaukee tonight over the stream, and she is an independent filmmaker and a recent Marquette grad. Grace, how do you feel about handshaking?
You know, similar to what someone said, I'm all for the fist bump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I don't want a sweaty hand. I don't want a handful of germs. You never know if someone's washing their hands. Fist bumps. All the way.
I like you already. Okay. Grace Koziel is here. We're going to talk more about her project after the news, and she's going to tell us about Ruby Red Films. And Grace, I have to ask you too. I kind of missed the boat on social media. I want to know, how the heck do you get something to go viral? We'll talk about all of that when we come back after the news with our guest, filmmaker Grace Koziel. Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. And she's taking a drag. You can still have some fun with tonight's questions, folks, if you want to get in on the action. It's National Handshake Day. I have notoriously said I am not a huge fan of the handshake recently, so this is perfect timing. The question of the night is, how do you feel about the handshake? What would be a better custom? I'll tell you what would be better. Anything than a stranger squeezing your hand. It's too intimate. It's an intimate act that we don't need in society. I think we're better than that. We've gotten a lot of great responses. Conrad's mom checks in and says, I am okay with handshakes, except for the wimpy one that makes you feel like they really don't care. Now, that would be weird, though, because then your mom would seem to be in favor of someone squeezing the living daylights out of your hand. And I don't know. We'll have to talk to your mom about that, Conrad.
All right.
You're okay with that.
Sounds good.
513 says, Asia has it right with bowing. I respect you, but please don't touch me. Totally agree. 715 Tom says, thanks, guys. We're all class clowns at heart, because Tom had a great comment earlier. He says, with love. And Steve from Florida says, in my line of work, I have always felt a firm handshake was a sign of a good business relationship. Since COVID, I find a lot of my customers still prefer the fist bump over the traditional handshake. I guess I'm okay with it, but still prefer the traditional way. All right. There are no right or wrong answers, folks. There are only your answers, and we'd love to receive them, and we'll read them on the radio. We'll get to some more texts in just a bit. Right now, we're going to jump back into this conversation we've got going with our guest, Grace Koziel.
Close. Very, like, you're like 99%.
One more time.
There.
Say it one more time, Grace.
Koziel.
Koziel. Because I wrote it.
That was right. Yeah.
Co-Zeal. Z-E-A-L.
It's more like O.
Koziel. All right.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. We are going to be lifelong friends. You do realize that, right? And this name, this will be a blip on the radar, Grace. It's great to have you here. Grace is a filmmaker and an actress, and she is also the founder of Ruby Red Films. How on earth, because I looked this up, Grace, on TikTok, you have like almost 30,000 followers. How'd you do that? Yeah.
That's a great question. Sometimes I look at the follower count too, and I'm like, how did we manage to do this? And it goes back to, like I said, the proof of concept for my film Bad For Me. And we really strategically paired it with trending music And I won't lie, our demographics are mainly women. It's like 88% women. And so we really knew our audience. And so we looked at what music women were listening to. And the movie is very emotional, obviously, because it deals with, you know, an abusive relationship. And so we really believe like this combination of the music with the visuals, and it's obviously a period piece too. And I think there's something that my generation is resonating with these period pieces, because it feels authentic or it feels refreshing. It's not 2025.
Yeah.
Visually interesting. And honestly, those elements came together and it really took off from there.
That's so cool. Can people see the proof of concept somewhere, or is that something you keep under wraps and just show it to potential investors?
It is on Vimeo. If you look up Bad For Me and then you look up Vimeo. Yeah.
And are you in the film too? Are you one of the actors?
I make a very, very brief cameo, but no. Okay. I try to not really act in my own movies because it becomes very difficult.
Yeah, it is hard to
do. For a lot of different reasons. Yeah, a lot of different reasons.
So
yeah.
Do you prefer to be behind the camera?
I prefer to direct, in all honesty. Good for you. Yeah, yeah. I like to be able to tell a story and look at everything and coordinate all the different little pieces, as opposed to just be someone in the scene telling part of the story.
So as a director, a burgeoning director, who are your influences, Grace?
It's going to sound cliche. I'm sure every young female filmmaker would tell you this, but Greta Gerwig, Sofia Coppola. I recently watched The Substance, and I can't remember the director's name. Her work seems to be really great, but it's very sad because when we talk about female directors, we don't have many names that we can bring up off the top of our heads.
Right.
And I feel like that needs to change.
Coralie Farragut, I think is her name. Does that sound familiar from The Substance?
Yeah, I think she's like French, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And I love Sofia Coppola. Hey, I assume you're a fan of Kathryn Bigelow too?
What is she?
She's great. I think she did the Peacemaker, I want to say. She might have done the Hurt Locker was one of hers too.
I don't think I've seen those. Her name sounds really familiar.
She broke ground. She was like, I want to say she was one of the first female action directors. And it's so silly it's like, why wouldn't females be able to direct action? I mean, it's a movie. It's not really happening. And even if it was, you know, she directed The Hurt Locker, Zero Dark Thirty. A film I liked that I thought was underrated was called Detroit. But she's great too. I love Sofia Coppola. I love Lost in Translation. Have you seen that film?
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites. Loved it. All right. Well, those are great influences to have. So where do you go from now? You've got this proof of concept. And as someone who's raised money for a movie before, I know what an uphill battle you have. Where do you start with that? Especially at your age, just out of college, you don't have this huge track record, but you've got great social media presence. You've got a proof of concept. How do you approach investors?
So I will say we had to do some crowdfunding, and that was just the easiest way when you have a large following and you have this support system, but you don't necessarily have these people who are willing to throw thousands at you. That's sometimes one of the ways you can do it. Grants are a great thing too, especially for young filmmakers. Mm. But I will say some of the larger grants are kind of gatekept for like the indie filmmakers who are more established. So it's like, well, are you indie or are you not indie? And I won't lie, it is the hardest thing about making a movie is there's so many business, like you have to have a business proposal and a plan and like plan for investors. There's so many different things that you have to all of a sudden put on your business hat and figure out how to convince people to give you money. And I'm not going to say I'm an expert at it because I'm still learning and I'm still figuring it out.
No, but that's great. And I think that to me was an eye opener too. I remember I wrote this script and I had this producer who liked it. And then I had to learn about all this stuff, like a business plan and insurance. I'm like, insurance, what? Like, but you need, the set has to be insured, the actors, all that stuff. There is the not fun element of it, at least as far as I'm concerned. Some people love the business side of it. Do you have a good partner, someone that can help you go after money or kind of keep an eye on the other elements of the process?
I'm not going to lie. I do end up doing a lot of those elements just because since I'm the sole owner of Ruby Red, but I do have a really great group of collaborators and we are consistently working together. And either a lot of them are my classmates. Some of them are not my classmates, but we've worked together. A lot of us since 2023. And we work really great together and I can always rely on them. But some of the stuff, like you said, it's not fun.
Right.
And so it does, I do have to kind of sometimes figure it out where it's like, oh, we have to get an insurance policy for these lenses.
Right.
I guess I'm going to figure out how to insure lenses and how much I need to have a policy actually cover.
But you are so, I mean, at your age, you're so far ahead of the game if you do know this stuff and if you can learn this stuff and make yourself not only for your own products, but projects, but valuable to other filmmakers where they have to bring you in, even if it's just to do post or to, you know, be a unit production manager. You could have like your day job be something in the film industry, which would be incredible. What do you do? You've got all these followers on TikTok. You've got almost a million, I think that's a million likes. What do you do with all these submissions? Like that seems so overwhelming. You said you get a lot of people like that are trying to get seen, like that are in a similar kind of boat as you, but they're trying to be actors. How do you manage all the submissions you get?
So for our short, we received 2,000 submissions from legitimately all across the world, mainly central to the United States. And the approach that I've tried to take is because I'm also in a similar position to them is how can I teach them what I'm seeing from my perspective. So obviously we have to reject a lot of people, but a way that I've kind of turned it into a positive thing is like, let me tell you what you can do to increase your chances of being picked for a project based on what I'm seeing. And so I've tried to kind of make it as accessible to you know, young actors or people who don't have acting experience as possible, because I really do believe that sometimes you need that helping hand of, you know, okay, well, what do I submit when someone asks for a headshot? And let's say I don't have a headshot, what type of picture should I submit? Should I submit a picture with my family or should I submit a selfie of myself in front of the wall? And so that's the way that I've tried to reframe it and make it as positive as possible without feeling bad.
Yeah.
You know, with saying no to so many people, because I don't love to say no to so many people because I see that as 2,000 people with hopes and dreams just like me.
Well, the other alternative is you write 2,000 parts in your movie. So I think you got to get good at saying no, Grace. Koziel is my guest here on Nightlight right now. She is an aspiring filmmaker based in Milwaukee and the founder of Ruby Red Films, which you can follow on TikTok or Instagram. As far as you're concerned, and you're new to the scene, I get that, but has Milwaukee have a good film community so far? Have you met great people there, or what's the climate like?
I've met a lot of great people, but I won't lie, it's small. Everyone seems to know everyone, or everyone's one degree away from each other.
Okay.
But there is a lot of momentum right now, and I will say that. I don't know if you're familiar, they're trying to get tax incentives passed right now. And I've talked to a couple different people who have been a part of that movement for years. And they're saying, like, out of all the years that they've been a part of this, this year feels like the year with the most momentum and the most interest in this tax incentive being passed. And so I think it is a very, very supportive and tight-knit community. It's just small, but there's benefits to it being small.
Yeah.
You know, you have access to more things, more connections. So yeah, it's growing, and I'm really hopeful with the tax incentives that Wisconsin in general could just become a hub for filmmaking.
Absolutely. We've got Jeffrey Kurz and Nathan Deming will be on the show Monday night talking about that very topic, Action Wisconsin. Grace, one more question for you. What are you watching? Can you recommend something to binge?
Okay, it's with everything I've said, this is going to be probably a curveball, but I recently finished The Righteous Gemstones, which is on HBO.
Sure.
And it's a comedy. Very, very absurdist comedy. And it's just hilarious. And it's so absurd. And they just wrapped up the show. And the last episode was just like a masterclass in how you end a series.
I
loved it.
Did you watch that, Conrad? Did you watch the Gemstones?
You know, I've seen the first season. I just haven't gone past that.
I got to get to White Lotus season 3, but that the Righteous Gemstones is on my list too. Grace, thank you so much for your time tonight. Thanks for reaching out to the show. It's great to meet a new budding filmmaker. I wish you luck and don't be a stranger. Keep us posted on everything, okay?
Awesome. Thank you for having me, guys.
You're very welcome. Grace Koziel.
Yes.
Boom. All
Take
right.
Care.
We're coming right back to wrap things up, folks. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I'm Peach Wabba, folks. This is Nightlight. It's great to have you with me. For a few more minutes.
Why do you sound so sad?
Well, I fell for something last night. I'm not proud of myself. It was clickbait. It was on Yahoo. It said Colin Jost and Scarlett Johansson discuss their Wisconsin home. And they have nothing to do with Wisconsin. obviously they know I'm from Wisconsin. I don't know. Can they read your thoughts now, the algorithms?
You know, what's crazy is, I don't know if you've ever...
I think about Scarlett Johansson a lot. Not as much Colin Jost.
Have you seen those ads? I think recently it's a Caitlin Clark ad, State Farm. And in it, she says a town name. She says Sheboygan.
Oh.
But it's tailored towards every state.
Yeah, of course. She just reads like 50 cities. Okay. Yeah, it's a ripoff. And I have to admit, I clicked on it, and then I'm scrolling down, and they make you click again, and I'm like, first of all, I don't even care if they live in Wisconsin. How does it affect me? It doesn't.
Why'd you click on it?
I don't know, but I looked at like 50. I was looking, it was like home prices and where people live, and it's just ridiculous. It's nonsense. A lot of them aren't even, so-and-so's home is worth $2 million in Malibu. Oh, yeah. Sylvester Stallone has a $2 million home in Malibu. Maybe he paid that in the early 60s. That's not even possible. It's a joke. Folks, tomorrow night, another great show. It's a Bar Band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here with new music and great conversation. And we will also talk to Mary Hauser. She is the executive director of the Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce. And she is going to be here to talk about the Cheese Capital Festival. This is a bash. I can't wait to talk about this tomorrow night. That's at 6:35. And who knows? Maybe we'll squeeze another guest in there. I reached out to Brittany Merlot because I want weather answers.
You want answers now.
I want answers now. But another great show tomorrow night. And lots of fun next week, too. It'll be a short week for us, but we'll give you all the details on Monday with new original shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. And still a lot of fun. Thursday, Friday, and Monday, which will be off. So Steve from Florida says, he's adding to his, I just saw this. So your dad said he still prefers to shake hands.
Yep.
He says, also, thanks, Conrad, for bringing back a funny memory when you and your cousin got busted at the Baraboo Bowling Alley for calling 911 on the payphone. That sounds like something that would happen in Fast Times at Ridgemont High
right.
or Dazed and Confused. Just call 911, dude. He says, even though we turned the situation into a teaching moment, it still makes me laugh. That's a great text, Steve. Glad you got to take your dad back down memory lane. That's pretty cool. Bridget in the 818 says, I could do without the handshake. I like a simple nod, or the occasional elbow bump. That's just so subversive.
Yeah, I don't think I've elbow bumped since COVID.
Yeah, same. Bridget says, it is healthier. Viruses are getting brutal. Oh, boy. Thank you, Bridget, for that text. I kind of agree. I don't have a problem with the elbow bump. It's a little awkward, but, you know, why not the elbow bump? Steady Eddie from the 608 says, Pete, the handshake is a good way to build up one's immune system. Steady Eddie is always a glass half full guy.
Yeah.
You want to touch someone else's disgusting hand, Steady Eddie, that's your prerogative. He says, if the handshake germs don't kill you, they will make you stronger. Me personally, as a greeting, I'm now using the finger gun. Point and shoot option. That's kind of, I just Conrad just did it. I know I had to
nice
do it too.
Nice to meet you.
Like, yeah, nice to meet you. Hope to shoot you. A double point and shoot and adding a wink and mouth side effects. Mouth sound effects are awesome. So you go double pointers, a wink and a mouth sound effect. That would really give me the creeps. Steady Eddie says, works like a charm. I encourage you to try it, Pete. I'm going to try it right now. So it would be like a, oh, wow. I feel like a really cheesy human being doing that. Thank you, Steady Eddie, for the insights. And then we missed a text from Dave Kunish earlier, too. He says, have you seen the new Jack Lynx commercial, Yeti meets Sasquatch? I have not.
Do they shake hands?
I don't know. But they're already awash with germs, I would think.
Yeah, they probably don't care.
They probably don't. They don't know what's going on. So there you go, folks. That's basically a show. I'm trying to think if I had all this other stuff I wanted to get to. But I think overall, the worst handshake is the one like when the guy's finger goes up your wrist. Mm-hmm. It is just so creepy.
I think it's when you're limp and then you got your hands all crushed.
First of all, you don't offer your hand limp, do you? I know people can like, it would be like a guy, you want him to kiss your hand or something.
When you accidentally don't put that much pressure on the handshake, you're just getting it all crushed. And you're like, well, this sucks. I don't even like meeting you now.
I don't think there's anything wrong with, at that point too, going, look, you might as well kiss my hand since you've already crushed all the bones in it. And there was always the 70s shake, too, where you would, like, go in like the, hey, peace, brother, kind of. And then I think it turned into a black thing where they start like that, then they pull out and they put force on it. The black community has the best handshakes.
What's that?
Just, you know, how they do. They have all these things, like, you go in and then you snap your fingers. Remember that one? You kind of go in with the regular handshake. It segues into, like, a hippie handshake. And then you pull your fingers apart. And you kind of hold it like this a bit, and then you snap them, or you do this and you snap it.
Okay. I do like when you do a kind of like a handshake, but not really.
Like a quick skin thing, maybe?
A quick skin, and then you hug.
All right.
A quick, brief hug, you know?
A quick, brief hug. A barely touching
slap
hug.
Slap on the back.
I'm going to try that on the way to my car. I'll do some research and come back tomorrow night and let you know what I found out. Thanks so much to Grace Koziel, Conrad.
You got it.
Grace Koziel and Tom Clark for making the popcorn pick of the week, folks. It's Repo Man. And thank you for all your texts and calls. Always fun when you guys participate. We'll be back to do this all again tomorrow night. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
Take it to your best friend's house. Marmalade, we're making out. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, take it to your best friend's house. I loved you then and I love you now.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.